Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Things fall apart. Everything tends to decay. And so it takes a lot to combine atoms in such a way.
The time is okay, I could listen to that for a long time, but let's talk to these wonderful individuals who are in our studio now. The 7th Annual Mount Trepper Arts Summer Festival is up and running through August 23rd, featuring groundbreaking music events, visceral dance works, and boundary-pushing theater. The festival showcases risk-taking work, but also fosters an environment where audiences and artists can come together to form a community that values dialogue and experimentation. The festival's remaining events this year include 4 world premieres, and we'll talk about some, if not all, of those over the next few minutes. Co-founder and artistic director Matthew Pocock is with us, and executive director Abigail Gay joins us now to tell us more. Matthew and Abigail, thank you so much for being with us.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, Matthew, let us begin with you as co-founder and artistic director. This is the 7th annual, so this is you've beat the 5-year curse, and here we are, and this is really growing into quite the thing.
It's been a wonderful year for us, and that's one of the main things we're really focusing on is our sustainability. And actually, Abigail just started in March. She is our first ever executive director, and I am thrilled and happy to have a second full-time staff person. So, as I've been saying, I've recently smiled for the first time in 4 years.
And I can attest to that.
I have someone to share the blame with. Yes, and the work. What do you attribute the good fortune to as far as audiences coming and having this thing work out?
I think it's because our artists actually believe in what we do so well. We have, I think, over our 7 years created a framework. We are an artist-founded organization, and our focus has always been artist-focused, and within that, community-focused. We really believe in this 21st century world, the global art market. One of the biggest challenges facing the contemporary arts is a loss or a dispersion of community. And that, in fact, the idea of community is central towards innovation and ideas moving forward. So that's been our focus from the beginning. And I think it's that sense of strong community, intimate, strong community that has helped us thrive and do the impossible, which is run a small contemporary art center in a rural area in the Catskill Mountains.
Was the focus always, you always wanted it to be dance, theater, and music?
Yeah, actually, I mean, I think multidisciplinary. This year, that's our focus, but we also have literary events and visual art events in other seasons, and those will come back.
Okay.
What we did want to do is we wanted artists to be talking to each other across disciplines, which is, again, something I think it happens, but it happens less than it used to happen, let's say, 50 years ago.
I want to bring Abigail in to the conversation, but did this allow you to deal with more of the artistic stuff and then the administrative? I don't want to use the button.
Yes.
the administration
exactly.
stuff that you can handle running the day to day of the organization, right? Is that how you wanted it to be?
Absolutely, and not only that. I mean, I've been saying lately, for every 10%, especially a nonprofit grows, it's maybe 20% more work. The administrative overload of fundraising and grants and required IRS audits every year for nonprofits is massive. And, for me, it's been a 7-day work week for the last 7 years. And, you can do that for the first 3 or 4 years, but
sure.
7 years.
Yeah, after a while. So enter Abigail, and what has the first couple of months been like? What is the learning curve?
Well, one of the reasons I took this job was because I thought they were already doing a good job. You know, that they were they had an excellent program, they had good systems in place, they just needed more people, and I wanted to be that person, the first of their more people. So it's been a lot of work figuring out how everything's going, making plans for how things will go in the future, and just keeping the program, what the artists are experiencing, what the public is experiencing, keeping that the way it is while everything else, you know, grows around it.
What have the challenges been? What do you think the challenges are down the line? I mean, just to keep it at the quality that it is, right?
Sure. I think that the way I see it growing doesn't present that many challenges. I don't see us running into a situation where we have a corporate sponsor that's going to ask us to do Shakespeare or turn anything around. I think it's just the resources are already there. There just haven't been enough people on staff to really take advantage of
them. To make it happen, realize it, and to reach your full potential.
Exactly.
So let's talk about the artistic component here. The festival is ongoing, and as I mentioned in the introduction, you have several world premieres coming up to round it out through the 23rd of August. So what do we? First of all, what have people missed? What have you already had that has been great?
What you've missed is our new music programming for the season, which was terrific, which included a world premiere by the really core, but yet I think under-recognized outside the new music world, composer Christian Wolff for his 80th birthday. And Christian was part of that kind of John Cage, David Tudor, Morton Feldman crowd. Even at the Maverick concerts in Woodstock, a close friend of ours, which was where John Cage premiered 433 in 1952, a really important, key important moment in postmodernist art. The famous silent piano piece of Cage. But Wolf was at that concert. He was actually 18 years old when his music was played at that concert. And to have his music back in the area, I think it was 54 years later, 52 years later, was really a special thing for us. And it was a remarkable concert. And then this last week, we had Pam Tanowitz dance with the Flux Quartet, another new music string quartet. So it's been a very exciting festival so far.
So you have a world premiere coming up this weekend, and which perhaps may have the best title of any world premiere that I have heard this season, and that is The Theater of a Two-Headed Calf. What is that?
Yeah, that will be, it's based on a San Francisco Renaissance poet, Jack Spicer's poem, Billy the Kid. Jack Spicer was relatively unknown during his life, although he was one of the founders of the Six Gallery, where Allen Ginsberg premiered Howl in San Francisco. And really, his work was only discovered after his life. He kind of disdained publishing, so he really liked working on the fringes, and I think has become a core kind of a queer poet. And you know, this work will be, it'll be kind of like a musical theater, experimental musical theater version of this poem. It kind of channels Billy the Kid in a campfire scenario. And, you know, it's also, I will say, it's one of the things about world premieres and the type of work we like to present is I have no idea, actually. You know, that's part of what we do is we take risks and we say to artists...
We just throw that dart and hope it hits the balloon, right?
Exactly. I mean, it's really... That's one of the core things about our space is that we want artists to take risks and not that things are going to fail, but we want to give them the opportunity.
So what do we know about this group? So you have an established group that comes in and you give them the space and the time and say, here you go.
Exactly. Or even more, it's a group that... the artists we curate are artists who I know and been following for a couple of years. And then what I say to them is, what do you want to do? What do you need to do? How can we help support a process? And then after that, we just try to say yes.
Right.
You know, we try just to say yes to, within our, you know, financial and space means, say yes, do it, do what you want to do. Take that risk.
I have to say that in just reading the list, and then the premiere to follow that is 600 Highwaymen presenting Employee of the Year. An epic saga of one person's lifelong search for the thing she feels closest to but has never known, featuring an ensemble of young women under the age of 11. That sounds fascinating.
Yeah, I'm so excited for this piece and really proud of it. 600 Highwaymen, they primarily work with non-professional actors. And this piece, it'll all be 9 to 11-year-old girls, which is it will be amazing. And they are such a subtle, gentle sense of bringing out these awkward, beautiful moments for these non-trained actors. And it's maybe the piece it's hard for me to pick favorites. It's like, you know, like parents picking your favorite child. But it's the thing I'm the most intrigued about and excited about in terms of what the possibilities that might happen in that space.
Well, working with kids is always fun, or at least it can be.
Yeah.
it holds that possibility. Then tell us about Katie Workham.
Katie Workham is coming very much out of that kind of postmodernist dance tradition. This piece has a lot of kind of structured improv within it. And I think it's very fresh and vivacious. And, you know, I've been following Katie's work for a few years. I think she's kind of one of these core choreographers from a style of work that's been being made in New York City right now that evolves from the kind of 1950s, 1960s Judson School. And, you know, I always struggle. How do you describe certain types of abstract dance?
Right. Well, it's one of the hard things to do, especially on the radio. But
yeah.
The New Yorker perhaps put it best. Workham has the courage of her idiosyncrasies. The appealing cast moves into some unpredictably delightful terrain. So we'll leave it at that. And then the final world premiere is Mina Nishimura.
Yep.
And also a great title, I would add, Princess Cabbage and Quiet House Ash Daughter.
Yeah, and I'm very excited for this too, because one of the things we always try to do at Mount Tremper Arts is we have some really major internationally known artists. In fact, Pam Tanowitz, who was just last week, the piece we were doing premieres at the Guggenheim Museum in February. Many of these people are kind of internationally known names, but within that we also always try to present an artist who's never been fully produced before. And this year, Mina, this will be her first evening-length work. And it's important because otherwise, how do you keep the ecosystem of the arts world going? I think there's always, we always want to present those stars who are going to bring in audience. But what about supporting those younger artists and taking those risks and keeping that ecosystem and that community of artists alive and vibrant and moving forward? And especially in, I think, the environment of New York City today, it's that segment that's the most at risk.
The 7th Annual Mount Tremper Arts Summer Festival has Friday and Saturday events through August 23rd. For more information, visit mounttremperarts.org. MountTremperArts.org. We got to the world premieres. Cynthia Hopkins also coming in the 15th and 16th. So a lot going on. Check out MountTremperArts.org. Matthew and Abigail, thank you so much. Abigail, welcome. Have a wonderful season, and we look forward to speaking to you soon. Thank you so much. Again, more information available at MountTremperArts.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.